Okay, we're back again with Ask Pastor John. And I've been given 9 questions here, and we'll take them one at a time. And in front of me are 5 guys from Bethlehem, and they're helping me by prayer and listening and maybe even interaction. We'll see. Here's the question. I haven't seen these before, so we'll do the best we can. Lord, help me. If you were a youth pastor with 2 minutes to convince a young man not to sleep with his girlfriend, what would you say? Would your comments be different if you were talking to a young lady? Oh, yes, they would absolutely be different if I was talking to a young lady. So let's go with the man first. I would ask him if he was a Christian first. Do you trust Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? Do you know that you're a sinner on the way to deserved everlasting punishment and that there is one way out, namely the blood of Jesus Christ, to cover all your sins? Do you know that? And then how he answers that is going to make a huge difference in which way I go here. Let's just assume that he says, I am. And I would say, so that means that you cherish Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord, as the treasure of your life. Do you? And he's probably going to weasel a little bit there because he's got sin just like a lion crouching at the door trying to devour him. And he wants this sin. And when you want a sin, you are very hesitant to affirm truths that seem to contradict the sin you're about to desire. And so he's going to start to get troubled at this point. But I'm pushing on him at the center to confess Jesus as his precious treasure, Lord, and Savior, because that's the only kind of obedience I want. I mean, staying out of bed with your girlfriend doesn't get you into heaven, right? It doesn't make you a good person. There aren't any good persons, and the kind of person I want is a yielded person, a broken person, a person who's just stunned by the grace of God in his life. And so I'm going for the gospel first, and if he says yes and he's with me in the gospel, then I think I could go 2 or 3 different ways biblically. And here you judge the kind of person you got in front of you. What helps most? One way is to just go the obedience route and say, you confess him as Lord, right? Yes. He said, flee fornication. He just said it, 1 Corinthians. He said it, flee fornication. And he gave arguments for it. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't be united with a prostitute or with your girlfriend. That would be one thing. Just say, don't do it. The Bible says, don't do it. So don't do it. That's one approach. Maybe not the most effective, but depending. That's what works with some people. They just need to be clearly, give me a sentence in the Bible that says I shouldn't do it. Number two, you'd say, you know, don't you, that Christ died for your sins, all of them, including your future fornication. When you penetrate this woman, you thrust a sword into Jesus' side. Think about that. Do you want to do that? All your sins, if you're a Christian, are on him. Every new sin you commit is a fresh sword thrust into the side of Jesus. You keep that in your mind, buddy. This pleasure that you're getting is murdering the Son of God. Don't do it lightly. That'd be another approach. A third approach is save it. I promise you, your life will be richer. Your marriage will be deeper. God designed this so beautifully for you to enjoy. Save it. Save it. Don't throw it away. It will hurt you in the end. It will hurt your marriage in the end. You'll always wish you hadn't done it in the end. I promise you, that's the truth. This is a beautiful gift. It's not an ugly thing. It's a gift. It's designed to be the physical counterpart to an emotional, psychological, spiritual union with a wife. There is nothing sweeter, I say it from testimony, to lie with your wife, look right into her eyes at the moment of sexual climax and say, only you. only you, never another. That's rich. That's worth $1 billion. And I feel like I ought to say here that the hundreds, thousands who will see this and not be able to say that because they've already blown it. They've already slept around. There is redemption. There is forgiveness. There is cleansing. But this was asked, how do you help a guy not do it? And so that would be a third approach to say, God designed this beautiful thing for marriage. Don't throw it away for this. A fourth really pragmatic thing here is you might get a very serious disease doing this. That's really low on the priority list. I would say all of that to the woman and add this. If a man wants you in bed, you don't want that man. Period. You don't want him. If that man is willing to use you outside the covenant of marriage, why wouldn't he use another woman outside the covenant of marriage 10 years from now? I'd add that to the woman. You could say it to the man, but I think the man bears a very unique responsibility here because women desperately want to be loved, and they will yield more than they should if they feel like, okay, in order to keep him, this is the way I have to do it. And I just plead with her, you don't need that.